I'd like to welcome everybody to our session six of Gary Cox's Personal Growth Sessions. And in today's session, Gary's going to be sharing with us ways to handle rejection. It's something that all of us face as we work diligently toward our goals. We're going to learn how we might be conditioning our minds to make things worse that they really are when we get those feelings of rejection. Additionally, Gary will discuss ways in which we can shave years of the learning curve and reduce a tremendous amount of frustration and lost time as we work toward our goals. So it's now time to welcome personal growth expert and life strategist, Gary Cox.
Welcome again now to session six in Mastering the Art of Follow-Through. Again, for each session, you'll need your workbook, and this session will be no exception. And don't forget, when you hear this beep, it means that we're going from the call back here into the studio. So let's get back now to our call.
Gary, are you there?
I am here. Thank you, Laura. And again, it's so good to hear from you. And hopefully we'll be able to stay in touch again sometime soon.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, again, thank you, everybody, from calling all over the world. We've got New Zealand again and Australia and England everywhere. So it's great to see so many of you that have an interest in really going beyond excellence, if you will. And hopefully I'll continue to be able to assist you in doing so. Well, before we get started with session six, can you imagine we're halfway through the entire program? Let's do a quick review on some of the information that we discussed in session five. Last week, session five, we talked about the ability to control that external stimuli, that negative stuff that can be thrown at us, and also some of the negative things that we might be able to even throw on our own selves. We talked about the importance of not letting other people rent space in your head. So how have you been doing in the last week or so? Have you not allowed anybody to rent space in your head? One of the important things that I think we really focused on last week was that word mental vertigo. Remember, mental vertigo is a state of mind that can cause you to instantly want to give up. So the key was to understand mental vertigo, and we really went through a lot of information on mental vertigo last week if you happen to be on the call. And hopefully you'll be able to apply that information and be able to fly straight so you don't have to get into those tailspins and crash that airplane, if you will. Well, now we're on session six. Let's talk about session six. For session six, what we're going to do is we're going to go back to page one again, or lesson one, I should say, and today we're going to focus on it's about the seventh point on session one, and you'll see it there on your page in session six. It's how much am I not prone to rejection? And if we're not prone to rejection at all, it doesn't bother us, put a 10. That's a tough one to put a 10 on. I mean, we all get rejected. It's just a part of life. But how prone are you to rejection? So that's what we're going to focus on today, being able to master the ability to not allow that rejection to really take a hold of us and prevent us from implementing the necessary steps that we have to follow through on to attain our goals. And then, as we've been doing in our previous sessions, we're going to continue to go to our goal-setting sheet and keep adding toward that. So let's go to the next sentence on the information, hopefully, that you've got printed out. And that's our ability, fill in the next word, to handle, our ability to handle or not handle rejection. Our ability to handle or not handle rejection is often related to our perception as to how others may view us. Very powerful statement here. I'll read it again, make sure we fill in the blanks. Our ability to handle or not handle rejection is often related to our perception, fill in the blank there with perception, as to how others may view us. Very interesting. If we have a challenge with rejection, maybe we have a perception or we're perceiving that when I speak to somebody about my goal or my opportunity or whatever it is that you're sharing with people, you may think in your mind's eye that those people are going to just automatically say no, that you're crazy. And you know what? you might be right, because a lot of other people may have told you, no, you're crazy, what are you doing? You don't have any experience in this. Where do you think you're going to, you know, make something like this happen? And you know the stories, you hear it over and over and over. And if we keep playing that information in our mind, the information of this negative stuff that we've heard other people say before, and that's just part of reality, if we're going to be a mover and shaker, if we're going to try to really make things happen, what's going to happen is we're going to have people that are going to, you know, say things like, you know, you're crazy, what do you think you're doing? And if we're not careful, we'll constantly buy into this perception that everybody that we talk to, they're going to have the same reaction, and that's not necessarily so. So basically, our ability to handle or not handle rejection will relate to our perception of how we think other people may view us. The key is if we're playing all this junk, all this negative thinking, if you will, in our mind, we're probably going to fall into that perception. We're probably going to believe that other people are really going to think this way about us, and it's really going to affect us. It may be true. There may be people that are going to say these negative things, but it's a choice whether we allow this perception to affect us or not. And here's where the challenge comes in also. Is we have to look at ourselves. How do we perceive ourselves? So that's the next statement. A healthy personal perception is important as well. Fill in the blanks there. A healthy personal perception is important as well. To master a lot of rejection and to master what we think might be how others perceive us really will stem from our own personal perceptions of ourselves. Do we have a real healthy perception of ourselves? In other words, can we look at ourselves and say, you know what, I'm really happy with myself. I love myself. And I know that sounds a little, I don't know, silly or a little odd. I love myself. We don't mean to say that in an arrogant way. But do you feel comfortable with yourself? And if you don't feel comfortable with yourself, you are going to have a lot of perceptions. And usually the perceptions are going to be way off course of what you think other people are going to think about you. And here's what happens. When we don't have a healthy perception of ourselves, we have a tendency to focus on ourselves so much that when we talk to somebody about our goals or we work toward our goals, and in doing so we have to involve other people, when things don't go the way that we want to, we get some of this rejection, we get these no's, what happens is if we don't have a good, healthy personal perception of ourselves, we walk away just letting that bother us and eat at us day in and day out, hour after hour after hour. Now, when you think about this, when we're allowing something like this to eat at us, do you really think that the person who said whatever it is that they said that bothered us, do you think they're thinking for days and days and days, I cannot believe what that person said to me. They came to me and offered me this or offered me that. They just went on and moved on about their business, and here we are, we're still allowing it to eat us and eat us and eat us and eat us. And the key is, if we allow this to happen, how can we master the ability to keep going forward? So we have to learn to really have a healthy perception of ourselves. And there's several ways or reasons why a lot of us may not have that healthy personal perception. A lot of it could be how we were raised. And the reason I bring this up is because if we don't master the inside, if we can't love and accept what we are and who we are, how are we going to really have other people do it for us? It's not going to happen. We've got to handle it first within ourselves. And unfortunately, when we don't have this mastered, we just focus so much on ourselves and not our goals. And the key is we have to make sure we don't allow this to really eat us up. And when we start thinking about some of the things that happened in our past, maybe somebody told us that, you know, we would never amount to anything, or we don't have the ability to attain this, and, you know, we're mentally retarded, or whatever it could be. And we start believing a lot of this, what happens is it does cause us, unfortunately, to have a distorted view about our abilities to continue to succeed. And if these issues are something that may be applicable to you, I would certainly encourage you to really work on mastering that, because if you can't master that, we're going to really have a hard time working toward our goals, because we are going to get this rejection. And if we cannot handle this rejection, and we're really prone to this rejection, and maybe we have a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10, we're going to really have a hard time setting our goals and really following through on them. So something that I thought I wanted to put in here, because I really think it's very, very important. Let's go to the next statement. often we feel, fill in the word feel there, F-E-E-L, often we feel that we have to be accepted by other people. Accepted and people are the two words to add. Often we feel, or we may feel, that we have to be accepted by other people. I believe to some degree, all of us, one degree or another, we all feel that we have to be accepted to some degree. It's a natural feeling for humans to want to be accepted by other people. That's why we enjoy usually interacting with other people. We want to accept other people, and we'd like other people to accept us. But there's something that we have to be very cautious of, and it's the next statement that we really need to learn to master, and I can promise you this is a lot easier said than done, especially if you're one of those people that really, really go overboard in a negative way, doing things and saying things to make other people accept you. So the next statement is, the challenge is to find a balance, B-A-L-A-N-C-E. The challenge is to find a balance. That is very difficult, because if we don't find a balance, here's what can happen. You get some people that are so overboard, or they're at the point that they have to feel accepted by other people. These people that they're thinking they have to be accepted by, these are the people that they really have allowed to walk all over them. In other words, when somebody asks them to do something, they have to feel accepted by that person, so they cannot say no. So in their mind's eye, by saying yes means that person's going to be happy with me and they're going to accept me. So if they were to say no, that person is not going to be happy with me, and that means they're not going to accept me, so I can't handle that. I'm just going to say yes, 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 and unfortunately we have a tendency of people really walking all over us. That's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum is a person who says, you know, I'm not affected by other people. I don't care what other people think about me. And they go so overboard, they're very rude and arrogant. We don't want to go all the way on the left side. We don't want to go all the way on the right side. We want to try to find a happy medium. And the thing is, you know, rejection, all of this relates to rejection. Getting some information recently about Donald Trump. And some interesting things that he expresses when it comes to rejection. And, you know, what he tells people is basically nothing that we haven't heard before, but he tells us it's really a way of life. It's part of life. And if you're going to continue to go forward, the bottom line is we're going to continue to be rejected. But unfortunately, what he was mentioning and something that I had found about what he was, you know, his viewpoint on rejection was that you can't afford to get wrapped up in the rejection. You cannot afford to deal with the time that it takes to handle rejection. You stop and think about it. Maybe you fit this bill. You know, you're the type of person that's really sensitive to rejection. If you're not, think about somebody that you know that is. Stop and realize and analyze how much time is wasted on feeling rejected. Because when we feel rejected and we allow it to affect us, what do? Do we get right back on track? Usually not. And that's the challenge. We have to get right back on track. And that's why it's so important. And I will continue to emphasize this throughout this 12-week program. The key is we have to learn to master the information in lesson one, because if we don't master all this information, it would be virtually impossible for us to go ahead and set our goals. When we think about being rejected, we're going to focus more on the rejection than getting things done. That's why it's so important to really learn to master this. So let's talk about some ways that we can learn to master or handle rejection. Let's go to the next statement. When you feel rejected, what is it that you find yourself saying, both verbally and non-verbally? Let me go over that one more time and let's discuss it. When you feel rejected, what is it that you find yourself saying, both verbally and non-verbally? Here's the importance of this question. We need to figure out how we feel rejected, how we manifest it verbally and non-verbally, and the reason we want to do that is the next time it happens, we want to be able to nip it in the bud. unfortunately, for a lot of people, when they get these feelings of rejection, they get so wrapped up into the emotion, they don't stop to take time to realize, whoa, I'm getting caught up in this emotion. I need to do something quickly so I don't let this emotion keep going forward. So by writing this information down, we're able to kind of hone in and have a radar on what we do personally. All of us may have different ways of, unfortunately, manifesting rejection. So we want to figure out what we do verbally and non-verbally. In other words, do you say something out loud such as, you know, this idea is not going to work. I mean, this person said no to me. I just can't do this anymore. Maybe for you it's the words, I can't do this anymore. Or maybe you have a specific quote-unquote negative catchphrase that you use on a regular basis. Hopefully not, but some of you do. It's just part of learning, you know, how things go. And if you have a specific catchphrase, let's write it down. Let's talk about the nonverbal. Usually, you can obviously look at somebody who feels rejected. I mean, they don't look at you with a big smile and their chest is sticking out and they're just happy as a lark, right? What they usually do is they have their tail between their legs. They're kind of hunched down a little bit. You can see it on the face. What about you? When you get that feeling of rejection, how do you react nonverbally? Put this information down. Divide it by verbal things that you do and the nonverbal things you do. Now, when we think also about nonverbal things, it doesn't necessarily mean body language. It just could be internal thoughts. So instead of you saying them out loud, you're just thinking them in your mind. So you want to acknowledge that information too.
It's me again, back in the studio. Having feelings of rejection and rewarding them will prevent and stop the greatest of plans and dreams, yours and mine included. On your page 1 of session 6, let's take some time to identify this information. You know, I even get these feelings of rejection at times. It's human. But when we feel rejected, the difference between the person who follows through and who doesn't is what they immediately begin to do after the onset of these feelings. It's important to acknowledge these negative feelings as soon as they attack. If we don't take the time to do this, we'll often get so wrapped up in this rejection that it makes it so very difficult to get up and climb back out of it. So we got to nip it in the bud, and it's really the best way to stop this cancer from spreading. To accomplish this, we've got to identify how we reward these feelings. I'll be repeating some of this information again on the call. Meet me where it reads, specific ways that I show my feelings of rejection. Specific ways that I show my feelings of rejection. Take some time now to determine how you start rewarding these feelings of rejection. When you restart your program, we'll be going right back to the call. Go ahead and complete this exercise now.
Once you've taken the time to write this down, the next thing for us to do is we want to go ahead and analyze how quick this is going to happen again, or when might it happen again. Once we've done that, we want to be able to find out right away when it happens. Now, for some people that may sound silly. What do you mean find out right away when it happens? Because some people, when they get this feeling of rejection, like I said earlier, they get so wrapped up in the feeling, they don't even realize it's happening. They're just in that feeling of rejection. And if they have a negative state of mind or a negative frame of mind, once you start feeling that rejection, anything that happens after that, that has a slight tint of negativity to it, or a slight no from somebody, or maybe you perceive that the fact they say to you something like, call me back tomorrow, all of a sudden you've made that even worse than it really is. And that's why it's so important to try to nip it in the bud. Figure out what it is that you say, verbally or non-verbally, that is rewarding this rejection so you can really hone in on it and see if you can put the brakes to it. This is easier said than done with regards to changing this information. So once you find out what it is that you're doing to reward this rejection, the key is for you now to do the opposite. Try to nip it in the bud right away, and, you know, for lack of a better word, I tell people sometimes you have to lie to your brain. And when I say lie, I don't talk about it in a deceitful way, but you have to lie sometimes with your words in a way of faking your brain out by saying things like, you know what, this is not going to bother me. I'm not going to allow this to bother me, even though internally you may still feel it bothers you. Now, you're going to feel awkward saying something opposite of how you feel, but that's okay, because the other alternative would be to do what? Would be to reward these thoughts or these feelings. And if you reward these thoughts or these feelings, what's going to happen? We're going to continue to have the feelings of rejection, and now are we going to be able to master the ability to follow through? Absolutely not. This is the information that I want to bring to your attention with just that one statement or question: how much am I not prone to rejection? So take some time, analyze this information, and see if you can learn some things about yourself.
It's me again, back in the studio. I hope you're enjoying this information so far, and I'd like to take a little bit more time to discuss this subject of rejection. It really is a cancer to our dreams. We must really develop the mindset that there's no room in our minds and in our lives for rejection. Is this a challenge for you? Well, it was for me. I remember years ago when I started doing my own seminars, I couldn't sell one ticket. Talk about the feelings of rejection. If I couldn't sell some tickets, I thought maybe I could give some away. Well, I was barely able to do that, and I think the people that took them were really just feeling sorry for me. And how did I figure that out? Well, when seminar time came, no one even showed up. It was rejection after rejection after rejection. Plain and simply, though, you must learn to handle a massive amount of rejection. Imagine the ideas that can be pursued if a person is not controlled by rejection. The graveyard is full of many of those who had great ideas but were afraid and took their ideas with them, perhaps never to be discovered. So I want to focus on more ways to master these feelings. Now, what do I mean by mastering them? I'm not referring to never ever getting the feeling of being rejected. I think we all get that from time to time. We're just prone to that. Obviously, some people more than others. Meet me at page 2. As emphasized previously, the real skill at hand is to not allow, A-L-L-O-W. In other words, it's something that we have the ability to allow or not allow. The real skill at hand is to not allow the rejection to keep us from following through and quitting. Let's make a list as to why a person might begin to feel rejected. You'll see the list there. The first one is lack of confidence. Put the word confidence in there. That may be a reason for some people to feel easily rejected because they lack confidence. C-O-N-F-I-D-E-N-C-E. Lack of confidence. When you look at yourself, do you see a confident person? Not overly confident where you're so prideful and, oh, I'll show you, you don't bother me, but really a healthy form of confidence. Without confidence, the rejection seeps in and slowly erodes at what little confidence we may have had in the first place. Also, too, we get a little overly concerned about what others may think of us, and that stems from a lack of confidence. The next one might be a negative past experience or experiences. Fill in the blank with the word negative. A negative past experience or experiences. Maybe something happened to you in the past that was so emotionally traumatic and it had to do with feelings of being rejected. And if it's so strong in your mind now, even though it happened 10, 20 years ago, you're going to relive that consistently, or you're going to relive that at least regularly. And every time you try to move forward and you get some of that rejection, you now get new rejection from this new experience that you try to go forward with, and you also relive the past negative experiences. The next one, feelings of worthlessness. Worthlessness, feelings of worthlessness, W-O-R-T-H-L-E-S-S-N-E-S-S, feelings of worthlessness. When we feel worthless, we already feel rejected and we're already down and low. And sometimes we think, well, you know, if I already feel this way, why set myself up and go forward knowing that people are not going to like my ideas or say no to me or things are not going to go my way and I'm just going to get more feelings of rejection? The next statement would be past failures. Fill in the word with the word failures. Past failures. Maybe there's some past failures or perceived past failures in our mind that are preventing us from going forward, hoping we don't get more failure and then feel rejected again. The next sentence, feelings of insecurity. That's definitely something that's going to erode the ability to go forward so we can prevent ourselves from getting some of this rejection. Feelings of insecurity. It's also, too, how you feel others perceive you. That's also simply a perception. Now, you might want to add to the list. Maybe there are some things that you could put down that, for you personally, they create feelings of rejection. After you've done that, then take some time to determine what you can, should, or are doing to master the feelings of not feeling rejected. For example, what are you doing to create your confidence or build your confidence? Are you thinking more of positive experiences in the past as opposed to negative experiences? Continue to reflect and add to this information so you too can do whatever it takes to master the ability to handle a tremendous amount of rejection. Take some time to reflect on this information, and if you choose to stop the program here, which I strongly suggest that you do, when we continue again, we'll be back on the call starting with the goal setting process. So be prepared to go to the back of your book to work on the goal setting process. Go ahead and stop your program now if you choose to do so.
Today, you'll notice there's going to be a little bit of a change. Most of the sessions before this session 6, we focused a lot of information and spent a lot of time on each statement or question that we had from lesson 1. And then we spent a very little amount of time on the goal setting information. Well, today we're already done with some of that information from lesson 1 that we've put here on lesson 6 or session 6. Now we're going to go back to the goal setting sheet. So go ahead and put session 6 aside and go to your goal setting sheet. So at this particular point, we should have 5 different statements, and today we're on the 5th one. And what does that 5th one read? Who can I model or study that will help minimize my learning curve? So let's fill in the blanks there. Who can I model, M-O-D-E-L, who can I model or study that will help me minimize my learning curve? Learning curve. For those of you who may not be familiar with the words or the term learning curve, basically what that means is anytime you start something new, especially if you don't have experience, you're going to have to really do a lot of what? A lot of learning. And however long it takes you to learn whatever it is that you're wanting to learn, that's what's called the learning curve. The key, though, is if we can find somebody that we can model or study or learn from, what we want to do by doing this is minimize this learning curve. So if the learning curve took you 5 years, can you see if you can maintain that learning curve and just do it now in maybe 2 years? And that's not to say after the 2 years you're not going to keep learning. You're going to always keep learning if you're going to keep growing and going forward. But the key is, can we shave some of that learning curve off? The best way to do that is find somebody that you can model or study. So let's continue on this subject. To make a point, stop and think about any successes that you've attained. Or maybe think about the successes that somebody else has obtained. It doesn't matter. Let us say now that after you have attained this specific success, that you have to start all over. But this time, you have the experience and the knowledge from the first experience. Would you be able to attain your success the second time around quicker than the first time? I think most of us would say yes to that. Why? Well, we have an advantage. The advantage is what? The advantage is learning from our past failures and successes. That's the key. We want to learn from our past failures and successes. Obviously, especially the failures, we want to minimize those. And if we don't have somebody that we can learn from, somebody that we can model or study, we're not going to be able to minimize those failures. It's impossible to never have failures, only if you're going to just, you know, sit in a cave and never do anything. So if you're going to keep going forward, we're going to have failures. But common sense tells us, hey, it only makes sense to try to minimize those failures. For example, for some people it sounds maybe morbid or grotesque or stupid, but as you know that, you know, I'm into aviation pretty heavily, and I have a book in one of my airplanes that in fact, I have 2 books in there, and all the books talk about are airplane crashes. What happened to such and such an airplane? I look for articles about airplane crashes and helicopter crashes. Why? Because I want to find out what they did wrong. And you know, every time I fly and something happens, I think about a story I read about somebody that did this or that 5 years ago and they messed up, and I'm learning from that. So I'm using this information to learn from. So that's why it's so important not only to learn about people's successes, but for me personally, I really want to hone on to their failures, because if I can learn from their failures, that's going to help me see, wait a minute, maybe I'm on the wrong track. And by listening to what they're telling me, I'm thinking, wait a minute here. You know what? I'm on the same track that they were. I better switch gears. And it's so important to figure that out now as opposed to waiting till later on. And that is the wisdom and the advantage of finding people that are really solid people that you can really hone in on and model and study and learn from them. What we need to do is find some of these people. Well, some people say to me, you know, well, Gary, that's hard to do. And I think a lot of people misunderstand this one, the one when I say, you know, find people that you can learn from. Some people, when they hear that, they think, well, you know, what you're saying is I want to find an actual person. And when they think that, they're thinking they have to find an actual person that they can see, feel, and touch and sit right in front of them. Well, yes, ultimately that would be the greatest thing because, you know, you can interact with somebody if you can find somebody personal and somebody physically that you can see, feel, and touch, somebody that you can model or study. But sometimes those people are not attainable, they're not reachable, you can't get a hold of them. Other times you can't maybe afford them. And when you think about it, you know, you can read a book of theirs, but the disadvantage of that is that you can't ask them questions. I mean, you can ask a book questions, I guess, but you're not going to get a response. So, yes, ultimately, it would be nice to be able to have somebody physically that we can see, feel, and touch, somebody that we can discuss this information with, somebody that we can question, but you don't have to have that. What do you do if you can't personally find a person that you can consistently talk to and meet with? Well, let me share with you some information about how I do it. I have a billionaire mentor that I use, and I have the privilege of getting to meet him personally from time to time. It's not often, and here's the challenge. I would love to meet with him more often, but because of his schedule and mine, it's very, very difficult. Does that mean, then, that I cannot learn from him? Well, I can't learn from him if I can't talk to him personally, right? Well, not necessarily. So here's what happens. If there's something that I want to get some feedback, I want to use him as a bouncing board, I don't have to talk to him. I can talk to his assistant. Why? If I talk to his assistant, there's something specifically I'm looking for. What do you think it is that I'm looking for if I don't get to talk to him personally, but talk to somebody that works right with him on a day-to-day basis? What I'm looking for is finding out from them how he thinks. That's the key. If you're at a disadvantage and you don't have somebody physically that you can see, feel, and touch, somebody that you can be mentored by, that's okay. As long as you can figure out how they think, that's what you really want. Yes, it would be nice to shake their hands and go out to dinner with them and pick their brain on a one-on-one basis, but if you're unable to do that, what you're looking for is ways that people think. It's the thought process. You want to find out how they think, and it's that thinking that's gotten them to that level, and you want to work on adopting that level. Here's some information that you want to pay special attention to. You don't want to forget this following statement.
Okay, it's me again back in the studio. Now, the information I'm about to share with you is going to be found on page 2, session 6. So you want to go to page 2, session 6. This way you'll be able to fill in the blanks and follow along. Let's continue.
For every thought I act on, I get a result. Let me repeat that. For every thought, that's your key word, for every thought I act on, I get a result. That is so powerful. So what that means then is that the results that we get in life often stem from the way that we what? The way that we think. This is why it's so important to have somebody that you can study and somebody that you can learn from. Because what you're trying to do, what you're trying to get from them is how they what? Is how they think. Because if we can adopt the way they think and put that into our thought process, we should be able to get some of their same results. So remember this, for every thought I act on, I get a result. Why is it that you take time to listen to a program like this? Really what you're looking for is you're trying to get some ideas or some strategies where basically there are thoughts of mine. And when you talk to other people, what are you looking for? You're looking for their thoughts. You're looking for how they think so you can adopt some of their thinking. Let's go to another statement that's very powerful. For every goal you set, there is a thought process or processes that must be adopted in order for your outcome to be successful. Let me repeat that. For every goal that you set, there is a thought process or processes that must be adopted in order for your outcome to be successful. So what do we mean by this? What we mean is that for any goal that you want to set, whether it's quit smoking, losing weight, increasing your income, whatever it is, there is a thought process that would need to be adopted for you to be able to maintain that success or get to that point. We need to know what our goals are, and then we need to identify our thought processes. Are our thought processes in harmony with our goal? That's very important to know, because if we have a specific goal and our thought process is not in harmony with that goal, we're going to be active, but active accomplishing nothing. We're going to go around in circles and circles and circles. And that's why people will try and try and try. And they will, unfortunately for many of them, continue to fail and fail and fail. And they try and fail and they try and fail. Because a lot of times their thought process or processes, sometimes it's more than just one thought, they're not really in harmony with their goal. And not only do they have to be in harmony with their goal, it's got to be adopted. When you get a model, somebody you can model, or somebody that's going to mentor you, be careful of something. You don't have to listen to everything they say. Here's a point to remember. Here's a caution point. The smart person believes half of what he hears. The intelligent person knows which half to believe. What a powerful statement. Dan Bagley, one of my millionaire mentors when I was a teenager, he shared this with me. And the reason he shared this with me was because as a teenager, I was very naive. I would listen to something and I would just believe it. So the key here is a smart person believes half of what he hears, the intelligent person knows which half to believe. So don't believe everything you hear, even from one of your mentors or somebody you're studying. So you might want to get two or three answers. You might want to find out how this person thinks, and how this person thinks, and then how this person thinks, and you may need to make your own decision. Keep in mind, when you make your own decision, you are responsible for the consequences, whether they are good or whether they are bad. Sometimes there is no right or wrong answer. Some persons, they may do something this way, another group may do something this way. It doesn't mean that one is necessarily right or wrong. I remember this particular mentor, Dan, who shared this statement with me one day, and I don't remember the exact specifics, but I remember I asked him for some advice, and he gave me some advice, and for whatever reason, I just didn't like it. And I didn't tell him this, and I tell you, I felt so uncomfortable because I wanted to do something opposite of what he told me to do. I went by my gut, and I went ahead and just did what I thought was the right thing to do, or the more effective thing to do. And several months later, he came to me, and he noticed that I did opposite of what he told me to do. And he commended me because it worked. That doesn't mean I'm going to listen to everything he says, nor does it mean I'm going to do opposite of everything he says. You have to find this balance. You've got to learn to become your own person, if you will. Again, because you're going to be the person that's got to live with the consequences. And it scared me to do this, but he helped me see the importance of this thought. The smart person believes half of what he hears. The intelligent person knows which half to believe. So my point here in telling you this is the information that you learn from me and other people. Don't just take it for face value. Challenge it. Go somewhere else and challenge it. Figure out, you know, does all seem to be in harmony, or there's something that you agree with that you want to do differently? That's okay, because remember, the smart person believes half of what he hears. The intelligent person knows which half to believe. Now, as you're trying to work with a mentor and find out more about them, what other things do you want to learn about them? You want to find out things like, what fuels their passion. And we've discussed that pretty extensively throughout this program. So what does fuel their passion? Is there something that you might be able to discover that fuels their passion that you might be able to use yourself, that you can model, that will also fuel your passion? How do they stay motivated? What's their thought process when they have got a bunch of rejection? How do they think? How do they handle it? These are the things that you're looking for. If you can ultimately find somebody that you can talk to, consult with, see, feel, and touch, and ask them these questions, great. You're definitely at an advantage. But if you can't, read about them. Find somebody who knows them. Find out how they think. Find out these things. What fuels their passion? How do they stay motivated? How do they view perceptions of failure? All these different things are what you're wanting to find out. Again, you're wanting to find out how they think. Remember, it does us no good unless if we agree with their thought process, we do what with it? We act on it. So that's the key again, friends, between just agreeing and believing it. And we show how we believe it by what? By our actions, not just by agreeing and saying, yep, that's right, that's right. We have to do more than just agreeing. Understand what your goals are. And really analyze yourself. Do you have the right thought process? Now, how do you know if you have the right thought process? Well, number one, if you have to ask, you probably don't. All right? I mean, let's call a spade a spade. And the other thing that you can do, and that's not necessarily true what I just said, but there's some partial truth to that, so don't go overboard with that thought I just gave you there. The other thing that we need to do is we need to ask that mentor, that person that we want to study or model. We're obviously looking for somebody who most likely would have more experience than we would. For example, if I wanted to be really good at playing tennis, I'm probably not going to find somebody or hone in on somebody or hire somebody that's only been playing tennis for a couple months. I want to hire somebody that's really, really good. Somebody that I can watch and somebody that can teach me. Why do I want to do that? Because I want to learn from them because they're a lot better than I am. Same thing here. If you find somebody who's attained a specific goal or goals that you're wanting to attain, you need to find somebody who's really done it because you want to learn from them. Again, you want to adopt their thought process because we're not going to have the good outcome, the outcome that we really want, if the thinking is not there. It's so, so very important. Well, let's continue this. The key is that you must act on your thoughts. We don't want to forget that. Yes, for every thought we act on, we get a result. But remember, the key is what? We have to act on it. We can't just have a thought, because if it's just a thought, it's just maybe positive thinking. And remember, positive thinking is like what? Spray paint on rust. So the key is that you must act on your thoughts. I'm going to ask you a question. Basically, it's a two-part question. The first question, if you agree with me, just, you know, say out loud if you want, nod your head in agreement if you agree with me. Then I'm going to ask you another question. We'll get to that in just a moment. The first question is, how many of you agree that the higher the risk, the higher the reward? Well, if I could hear everybody on this call, hopefully everybody would say yes. Now, I'm going to ask you another question, but this time, I don't want you to move a muscle. If I could see you, I wouldn't want you to shake your head yes or no. I wouldn't want you to answer the question. I just want you to listen to it, okay? Now, let's go back to the first question real quickly. It was, how many of you agree that the higher the risk, the higher the reward? I think all of us would say yes to that. Here's the next question. Don't move a muscle. How many of you believe in the statement, the higher the risk, the higher the reward? Interesting. Let's stop and think about it. You see, it's so easy to say, oh, yeah, I agree. The higher the risk, the higher the reward. Anybody can shake their head and agree to that. You could have a little monkey and teach the monkey to shake its head and ask the monkey, hey, monkey, do you agree that the higher the risk, the higher the reward? The monkey just looking at you, shaking his head. But can that monkey actually believe in the statement, the higher the risk, the higher the reward? How do you show that you believe it as opposed to just agreeing it? How do you show that? How do you show that you go beyond just agreeing as opposed to believing? Well, the person who believes as opposed to the person who just agrees, there's a big difference. The person who believes, they act on the thought process. That's the key. So if you're not acting on it, You can sit there till you're blue in the face and shake your head and say, yep, I agree that the higher the risk, the higher the reward. But that doesn't necessarily mean you believe it. We believe it by taking action. So the key then is that you must act on your thoughts. Just the fact that you have a thought that says, yep, you know, you got to take risk. If you take risks, you get rewards. You can listen to people all day long say that. I hear people say stuff like that all day long, but when I watch them, I can see they only agree with it. They don't believe it. How do we know they don't believe it? Because they don't act on the thought. That's the key. So having the thought, yes, that's important. Knowing what your model's thought is, the person you're studying, knowing how they think, yes, that's very vital. That's very important to you. Now, once you know how they think, what do you do with it? You got to what? You have to act on it. You can't just agree. You've got to do something. And as we do something, now we can slowly start getting the results that we're looking for because we're implementing some of their thought processes. That's the key here. That's the difference between just agreeing and just believing. Now, I want to share with you a very interesting point here that was shared with me by one of my millionaire mentors that I had when I was a teenager. When you get a model, somebody you can model, or somebody that's going to mentor you, be careful of something. You don't have to listen to everything they say. Here's a point to remember. Here's a caution point. The smart person believes half of what he hears. The intelligent person knows which half to believe. What a powerful statement. Dan Bagley, one of my millionaire mentors when I was a teenager, he shared this with me. And the reason he shared this with me was because as a teenager, I was very naive. I would listen to something and I would just believe it. So the key here is a smart person believes half of what he hears, the intelligent person knows which half to believe. So don't believe everything you hear, even from one of your mentors or somebody you're studying. So you might want to get two or three answers. You might want to find out how this person thinks and how this person thinks and then how this person thinks. And you may need to make your own decision. Keep in mind, when you make your own decision, you are responsible for the consequences, whether they are good or whether they are bad. Sometimes there is no right or wrong answer. Some persons, they may do something this way. Another group may do something this way. It doesn't mean that one is necessarily right or wrong. I remember this particular mentor, Dan, who shared this statement with me one day, and I don't remember the exact specifics, but I remember I asked him for some advice, and he gave me some advice, and for whatever reason, I just didn't like it. And I didn't tell him this, and I tell you, I felt so uncomfortable because I wanted to do something opposite of what he told me to do. I went by my gut, and I went ahead and just did what I thought was the right thing to do or the more effective thing to do. And several months later, he came to me and he noticed that I did opposite of what he told me to do. And he commended me because it worked. That doesn't mean I'm going to listen to everything he says, nor does it mean I'm going to do opposite of everything he says. You have to find this balance. You've got to learn to become your own person, if you will. Again, because you're going to be the person that's got to live with the consequences. And it scared me to do this, but he helped me see the importance of this thought. The smart person believes half of what he hears. The intelligent person knows which half to believe. So my point here in telling you this is the information that you learn from me and other people. Don't just take it for face value. Challenge it. Go somewhere else and challenge it. Figure out, you know, does all seem to be in harmony or there's something that you agree with that you want to do differently? That's okay, because remember, the smart person believes half of what he hears. The intelligent person knows which half to believe. Now, as you're trying to work with a mentor and find out more about them, what other things do you want to learn about them? You want to find out things like, what fuels their passion? And we've discussed that pretty extensively throughout this program. So what does fuel their passion? Is there something that you might be able to discover that fuels their passion that you might be able to use yourself, that you can model, that will also fuel your passion? How do they stay motivated? What's their thought process when they have got a bunch of rejection? How do they think? How do they handle it? These are the things that you're looking for. If you can ultimately find somebody that you can talk to, consult with, see, feel, and touch, and ask him these questions, great. You're definitely at an advantage. But if you can't, Read about them. Find somebody who knows them. Find out how they think. Find out these things. What fuels their passion? How do they stay motivated? How do they view perceptions of failure? All these different things are what you're wanting to find out. Again, you're wanting to find out how they think. Remember, it does us no good unless if we agree with their thought process, we do what with it? We act on it. So that's the key again, friends, between just agreeing and believing it. And we show how we believe it by what? By our actions, not just by agreeing and saying, yeah, that's right, that's right. We have to do more than just agreeing.